Morning. I wanted to talk about authenticity today because it's trendy. I mean, really, don't you hear the word a lot? And I wondered whether being your authentic self is the same as being your divine self, which we talk about all the time. Or for that matter, why wouldn't you be authentic? How can you not be? So anyway, I was wondering that, and then I read a book by Brené Brown. I've talked about her before. She is a popular author. She's been on Oprah talking about her book, Daring Greatly. But she has an earlier book called The Gifts of Imperfection. And it's about authenticity, learning that it's okay not to be perfect. So I want to tell you about it because it's so in line with the spiritual issues we talk about all the time. I'm even thinking our spiritual transformation might start with our human authenticity. Turns out, shame and vulnerability are what keep us from being our authentic selves. We're just afraid of looking foolish, being judged, being vulnerable. But there's a huge price to pay for not being authentic, for trying to stay safe and comfortable. And Brené Brown got my attention when she said this: I think we should be born with a warning label, similar to the ones that come on cigarette packages. Caution! If you trade your authenticity for safety, you may experience the following: anxiety, depression, eating disorders, addiction, rage, blame, resentment, and inexplicable grief. Has anyone had those symptoms? Those symptoms are often what drive us to a spiritual solution, usually after we've tried therapy and antidepressants and divorce and geographical cures. But it turns out there is a spiritual side to authenticity. In fact, spiritual awareness is what truly keeps us safe in the world. The call to authenticity is a lot like the call to spirituality. Maybe it's even the same thing. There just comes a day when you can't keep living the way you've been living anymore. It can be brought on by divorce, empty nest, retirement, illness. It's a time to reassess your life. And sometimes there's no event. It's just divine restlessness when you finally have to follow your bliss. It often happens in middle age, so it has been called a midlife crisis. And maybe you go out and buy a red sports car. Where is David Conway? There he is. That is, if you haven't seen it, David has the most beautiful red sports car I've ever seen in my life. It is a hardtop convertible, which I didn't know was possible. But anyway, there comes a day when you just have to express your true nature. And you might try different things, jump out of airplanes, take up dancing, pursue music. Sometimes our authentic selves have been on hold since high school, so you might pick up where you left off. Which is why being authentic is not always done skillfully. Well, speaking your truth can become brutal honesty. Having fun can become dancing on tabletops and high-speed chases. So, how do you know your authentic self? Does it want to misbehave? What if it's grouchy or whiny or clingy? What if it's loud and pushy? Can those things be authentic? What if being your authentic self carries too high a price? That struggle is probably why we stopped being authentic somewhere along the way. We were trying so hard to get it right, to live the way we're expected to live. Everyone has some degree of perfectionism that is fear-based. It comes from what will people think. I'm not talking about standards of excellence or your personal best. I'm talking about doing whatever it takes to fit in. At the same time, we're told to stand out, achieve, perform, accomplish. Our society can make us crazy. One of the saddest things I've read in Brené Brown's shame research And you know, she does shame and vulnerability research at the University of Houston. She says that despite our advances, we are still hamstrung by expectations based on gender. Women are afraid they'll be punished for speaking out. We're supposed to be honest, but don't make people uncomfortable. Say what's on your mind, but don't hurt anyone's feelings. Sound educated, but don't be a know-it-all. Have the courage to disagree with the crowd, but never say anything unpopular or controversial. To play it safe, women have to stay small and quiet, and by God, be pretty. There is terrible shame in not being pretty enough. And that mindset is still rampant, she's found, and internalized in us. And it's no better for men. They are supposed to be in control of their emotions, put work above everything else, control women, and pursue status. There's more detail in her research about how men get that message. But for men, it boils down to stop feeling, start earning, and just don't expect to have a meaningful connection with anyone else. We've been given an infinite number of reasons not to accept our authentic selves. Because we're supposed to fit in, conform, be like everyone else, and at the same time, be better, stand out, and rise above. If your goal is to be liked, you will probably wear yourself out being what other people want you to be. And most of us do try that for decades. That's why one day you just can't do it anymore. That's when we are called to be authentic. Who did you come here to be? Now, society does judge, and you will probably be criticized. I don't always like other people's authentic selves. I guess I shouldn't be surprised if they don't like mine. Are we willing to withstand others' judgment of us, and even our own judgment, to be authentic? I think most of us are afraid we'll be seen as selfish or self-indulgent if we're authentic. But what's the price of not being? I mean, what was that list? Anxiety, depression, addiction, rage. So what is authenticity about, and how do you know when you're being authentic? Brené Brown has interviewed thousands of people who are struggling to be authentic. She calls them wholehearted. And she boils authenticity down to three qualities: courage, compassion, and connection. We talk about these all the time in spiritual terms. The original meaning of courage was to speak one's mind by telling all of one's heart. If you have the courage to be yourself, to reveal your heart, it makes you vulnerable. Have the courage to tell your story anyway. Let yourself be seen as imperfect and wounded. That's authentic. Compassion is being on the other side of that. It's being with someone in their pain. And one reason many of us avoid it or try to fix it is because it triggers our pain. I am increasingly convinced that most of the world's ills result from not wanting to feel pain or to be uncomfortable in any way for any reason. And I don't have a good answer for that, and I am certainly among those afraid to feel. And compassion can hurt. That's why so many people can't watch the news. They feel for those people on television, and it hurts too much. The other reason we might hesitate to be compassionate is that we might be taken advantage of. Turns out, the most compassionate people have the strongest boundaries. Isn't that interesting? Research shows the only way to truly be accepting is to have boundaries. Now, parents know this. You set boundaries for your kids because you love them, because you have compassion for where they are in life and what they need. But you've heard me talk about turning into a divine doormat. We're trying so hard to be spiritual and loving that we let ourselves just get walked on. That kills compassion. That breeds resentment. And we can't connect authentically with someone we resent. Connection is the third quality of authenticity. Connection is feeling seen and heard by another. It's giving and receiving. We have all kinds of research showing that we are hardwired for connection. Daniel Goleman, Bruce Lipton, we need each other. We seek to connect. But in our society, we also value rugged individualism. A lot of us are more comfortable giving than receiving because receiving makes us vulnerable. To connect, we have to believe we're worthy of receiving love. And again, we're bombarded in our society by ways we're not worthy. Not thin enough, rich enough, smart, young, accomplished enough. And our sense of belonging can only be as strong as our self-acceptance. I hate that, but Brené Brown swears it's true. So remember this distinction in terms of authenticity. When you need to fit in, you'll be whatever you need to be to gain acceptance. When you want to belong, you have to be who you really are. Otherwise, it doesn't count. Who wants to be loved for a fake version of themselves? Courage, compassion, connection are the hallmarks of authenticity. So, is being our authentic self the same as being our divine self? Our authentic self has a lot of personality in it. Everyone is authentic in different ways. Brené Brown tells a funny story. She's out shopping with her daughter Ellen, who was 8 at the time. They're in Nordstrom. Music's being piped in, and her daughter just starts dancing. Actually, she's doing the robot. And then she notices a group of the cool girls from school standing there watching her. And she looks at her mother like a deer in headlights. And Brené Brown notices their beautiful mothers are standing and watching. And her first reaction was to tell her little girl, "Cut it out, let's go." And then she decided, be on her side. So Brené Brown starts dancing the robot. And they stood there in Nordstrom and danced together and didn't even look to see what the reaction was. She cites that as an authentic moment. So is that human? Is it divine? It's both and. It's authentic. Turns out spirituality wraps all this together. And people who are successfully authentic always say spirituality gives them their juice. Spiritually, we recognize our own worth so we can have courage and accept love. Spiritually, we understand our connection to each other so we can be compassionate. Spiritually, we know we are all part of a whole, part of a power greater than all of us, a power of love and compassion. A spiritual solution is the only thing strong enough to overcome the pain and discomfort of just being alive in our society today. The fear, blame, vulnerability, and disconnection, authentic people lean into those feelings knowing there is a greater power at work. People who live authentically also practice gratitude and joy. You know, joy is different from happiness. Happiness is about outer events. And no one is promising that outer events will be easy or perfect, or that being authentic always pays off. Sometimes other people really don't like you. Sometimes you're punished for not conforming, but at least you can relax and be yourself. Joy sometimes is big things like a sense of purpose or meaning in life, but it's also appreciating the present moment and gratitude for little things. Marianne Williamson said, "Joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are." So what is the authentic you? To figure it out, Brené Brown's family put together a list of what it looks like when things are going well. Now, she has 2 kids and a dog and a husband, and they both work, and they live in Houston. It's a pretty ordinary family, and their list turned out to be mostly little things. Yes, they appreciate having meaningful work, and they feel prosperous, which is not about money, but a sense of control over finances, or sufficiency might be a better word. But on their list was also getting enough sleep, eating healthy food, cooking together, working out. They put take time off, get weekends away, go to church, spend quality time with the kids, spend time with family and friends, just hang out, have time to piddle. Your list might be different, but I would invite you this week to make the list. What does it look like when your life is going well? What do you do and not do? Who do you want to be with and not with? What has meaning for you? That's your authentic life. It's not asking, what if I could have anything I want in the world and think of no one but myself? It's not selfish and self-indulgent. It's relaxing into who you came here to be and knowing it is enough. Celebrating the authenticity of what Brené Brown calls our messy, imperfect, wild, stretch-marked, wonderful, heartbreaking, grace-filled, and joyful lives. So let's take those thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep breath. Just bring yourself to that centered, balanced, calm, focused place. And begin to breathe in and become consciously aware of your feet on the floor. Grounding yourself to the earth, this big old blue spaceship. Be grateful for your feet. Whether you're sitting or standing or walking or running or whatever it is you do, you spend a whole lot of time connecting your feet to the earth, grounding yourself, literally. And in that joyful thought place where your foot bone's connected to your ankle bone, be grateful for those leg bones and knees and all the muscles and everything. Continue to move up from your feet to your core, your body core. And how grateful, how wonderful, what a system our bodies are. Continue to move and breathe, stopping to recognize maybe where you have a pain or two or something's a little tight. Breathe into it. Breathe gratitude into it. Move up to your heart. Move up to your throat. So many ways we communicate, and yet we connect so much with our voices. So expressive. again breathe gratitude for the simple ability to just speak. And breathe that gratitude all the way to the top of your head and out, envisioning that light going out into the world. And breathe gratitude for how simply, magnificently unique you are. How divine. What a marvelous thing to recognize that divinity that we are all born with, and how we express so differently and yet so often the same. Allow that sense of joy to bubble up in you. The gratitude just that you are even here on this earth, knowing that you have come here with something only you can do in this life. How grateful. To recognize you are the face of God, and that person sitting next to you is also the face of God. And everyone you meet is the face of God. And hold that this week. In any moment you feel otherwise challenged, see that face. So take a deep breath. And with gratitude, join me in the Alleluia. Alleluia.